According to Titus, and we pray, even so come Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Lindsay, for that reminder and that beautiful song, the possibility that he could come at any moment. When we think about that, we think about how careful we should be as believers, because he could come at any time, and we have a responsibility. So I want to talk to you tonight about the cure of carelessness. The cure of carelessness. 1 Samuel chapter 26, if you'll look there. 1 Samuel chapter 26, and we'll use just one verse as our text verse tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Then we'll also be referring to 2 Timothy, but we'll just be reading that to you later. But these two dovetail together, and you'll see what I mean as we think about the message. These passages, this one and another one that we'll share with you later, have to do with two men as they look at their lives, two different men, and the summary of their lives. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. That sounds like a confession of a man who has been sinning. Somebody who had been doing something wrong. And that was Saul. Saul was supposed to be, by those who have studied that life, a man that was a perfect specimen of a man. Some think that maybe he was as tall as 7 feet tall. He was a king. He was an important man. But listen at the summary of his life. This important man, with all the power and all the position he had, said, I played the fool. I have played the fool. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, we have a contrasting man and a contrasting view. And that is the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4, 7, where he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, there was a big difference in those two men. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been thrown into prison. Paul had been abused and mistreated and lied on, all kinds of problems, shipwrecked, you name it. He wound up in the Mamertine prison where they took his head off as a martyr for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as he looked at his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. Can you say that tonight? You think when you come to the end of your life, look at how far you've come now, and we're going to come to the end of our life if Christ does not come in our lifetime. And are we going to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so as he reviewed his life, that's the way he felt about it. And as we review his life in the Word of God, we can agree. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul was right by what he said, and his testimony is absolutely true. He is one in one situation that was very careful and exercised care. But then there's another in another situation who was very careless. Which one would you say you are today and tonight as a believer, as a Christian? I can tell you this, that there are a lot of Christians today who are careless in the way they live. There are just a lot of people who are not as careful as they should be. We're not as careful as we should be about the welfare of the lost people around us. We need to be more careful about that. Nobody's going to tell them about Jesus if we don't tell them about Jesus. We need to constantly be using every avenue and every opportunity we have to tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, not only a soul's welfare, but the influence of our lives. Sometimes we're very careless in that. Listen, you are influencing somebody tonight, probably a number of somebodies. They are looking at your life. What you say, the way you walk, the way you talk, all the things that are involved in your life, whether or not you're committed to God, they're looking at you. And if you're careless, you will be a reproach to the cause of Christ. Because of our carelessness, people don't get saved. Because of our carelessness, they look at people at the church and the way they act outside of the church and they say, boy, what a hypocrite. And that hurts the cause of Christ. Careless about a soul's welfare and careless about the influence of our lives. And you know, carelessness is a sin. You say, well, I don't do drugs and I don't live in adultery and I don't chew tobacco and I don't smoke and I don't do all these other things. But my friend, let me ask you the question, are you really being careless about your life in any other way? Carelessness is a sin according to the Word of God. And it robs you of something. If you're careless, you're missing out on the best of God's blessings. God wants to bless you, and God wants to use you, and God wants to pour out the blessings of heaven upon you, but if you're careless, He can't do it. Not only will He not can't do it, He will not do it. God's not going to bless you that way. It also robs others. We all have an impact. Now, what is the cause of carelessness? What's the cause of carelessness? Well, one word that comes to my mind is the word indifference. Indifference. When we become indifferent and we are on the dry rock of complacency and we become sort of used to everything and get used to it, then we're in trouble. It's this attitude, I'm satisfied and I really don't care too much about everything else. I just don't care. In the business world, they say that that's a real problem. People who work on a job in the business world that do not care. Careless employees causes them to have to charge more for the product we buy because they're careless. And when they're careless, the price just keeps going up. And many times that's exactly what takes place. They're careless because of that. As a matter of fact, the post office department tells us that one reason you get a lot of your packages and the items are broken in it, and that happens to it, is because of careless employees. Now, I know there are some that are careful, but there are some that are careless. And it all impacts us and all affects us. And so indifference. How do you feel about everything that's going on? Is your heart in it? Are you excited about it? Do you care about what's happening at the church? Are you praying about next Sunday already? Do you care what happens next Sunday? Are you just indifferent to it? Well, that's the preacher's program, and that's what the preacher wants, and let him have it, but I'll just go about my way. No, friend, we shouldn't be careless. We ought to be prayerful, and we should be involved in taking care of those matters for the glory of God. Another word comes to my mind is the word ignorance. We're careless sometimes because we're ignorant. Ignorant of what? God's Word and God's will. That's why you got to stay in the book. If you stay in the book, you'll know God's Word and you'll know God's will for your life. A lot of people say, I have a hard time knowing God's will. Start right here. If you'll start right here and keep going right here, you will discover that you'll be plenty busy keeping up with what God has already revealed to us. That is His will for our lives. I know there are some of those times we've got to go outside of that and know through prayer and fasting and all of that. But we need to know the Word of God to know the will of God. And if you're ignorant to it, then you're not going to be in the will of God. You'll be careless. And there are just a lot of Christians that don't spend much time in the Word of God. God help us to get back to this book. God help us to find time in our schedules every day where we're given to the privilege of sitting down somewhere or lying in bed, however you do it, to read and study the Word of God. It is vitally important. There's another thing that causes carelessness, and that word that comes to my mind is the word sin. Sin causes carelessness in our lives. When we allow the devil to get a toehold, the next thing you know, he's got a foothold, and then the next thing you know, he's got a stronghold. That's just the way it works. And when we have sin in our lives, we're going to be careless because of it. If you don't think so, ask King David. King David had sin in his life, and it didn't just start that day. It was an attitude. He happened to be in that place, and I believe that she knew what she was doing also to tempt the king, and they were careless, and he was careless, And because of that, so many people were impacted. Look at David's family. Look at the loss of the baby in that family. Because he was careless, and sin makes us careless. That's what happened to Samson and Delilah. He got a little careless, didn't he? And when you get careless, next thing you know, you're going to be in trouble. And so that's what happened to him, and he got a haircut in the devil's barbershop. Amen? And he lost his strength. And you know the rest of the story, how he went down the tube spiritually. Why? Where did it start? Carelessness. He started being careless. Sin will do that. And our passion sometimes will make us careless. Watch out for those typical fleshly passions that we have. If you don't guard them, if you're not careful, friend, you'll be in sin before you know it. And then you'll be in trouble with God. And then parents cause carelessness. Boy, that's the truth. A lot of parents cause carelessness in the lives of their very own children. Because they give no strong spiritual impression to them. As far as they're concerned, God is second rate. Other things are more important than that. It should not be that way. God, the church, the spiritual things should be the things of importance in our life tonight. They are very important to us, and they should be. And by the way, one of the things we need so desperately in our homes is dads who are spiritual and who take charge and lead the way in that family in spiritual matters. And little wife, you ought to follow him if he tries to do it. Amen? Who's reading the Bible at home? Who's opening the Bible in the Bible stories? In some cases, nobody. But most of the time, I'll tell you who it is, it's mother. And I want to tell you, it ought to be daddy. Daddy is the spiritual head of that home, and you dads ought to lead the way because you're impacting your children and you're impacting your family in what you do or don't do, and you need to be the one who leads out in these spiritual matters. We need some godly fathers and daddies in our homes tonight. We really need that. It's so very important. They don't show forth Christ like they should. They don't live for God daily, and they are faithless to Christ and the church, and as a consequence, they are careless at home. God shame you to not being careless and to really doing these things and taking the spiritual leadership. Sometimes leaders cause carelessness. I've seen that among some of the preachers. I hate to admit it, but in my time, in my years, I've seen some powerful, strong, well-known leaders. I could start naming names right now, and most of you or some of you would know every name that I call, and you associate some of that. These leaders who got careless in their life, they knew better to do what they were doing. They did it anyway. And the next thing you know, they're in immorality, or they're stealing from the church, or they're letting the church and the work of God be second rate and making money being the first thing and the primary thing. I've seen it and seen it and seen it again. Now, not all preachers are bad, all right? And thank God for those who've stuck by the stuff and stayed with the stuff and did it for years and years and years and years. Praise God for people like that. But any time a leader, whether it's a pastor or a staff worker or a deacon in the church, whenever they're careless, and my friend, things are not what they should be in the work of God when that takes place. Leaders cause carelessness. As leaders, we must be careful what we do, what we say, and the things that we allow in our lives. Churches also can cause carelessness. Churches, whole bodies of churches, local New Testament Bible-believing churches. What happens to us? We get careless. Well, how do we get careless? Well, we just sort of get used to things. We put it on spiritual cruise control, and we cruise along, and the next thing you know, our hearts are not disturbed about people that need to be saved. And we're careless about the gospel being given out. You know, I just feel like this, that all of our people should be giving out the gospel somewhere. I mean, just wherever you are doing it. Now, I would love for some of you to join us on Saturday morning to go out and knock some doors and to do that. It grieves my soul that we have no more. I'm glad we have the number we have, and probably compared to some churches, on average, it's higher than that. But I'm telling you, we ought to be there, if we can be there, to go out with the team, to go out with the body, to go out with the family, knock on doors, pass out tracts, witness, tell people about Christ. The more salesmen you have out there, the more people are going to get saved. And I'm not saying we're selling the gospel, but you get the idea of what I'm talking about. We've got to tell people about Christ. And wherever you are, maybe it's down at the schoolhouse as a youth. Maybe it's at the college campus as someone who is a student there in the university, a college. Or maybe it's in your office. Or maybe it's in a family get-together. I don't know where. But we need to get the gospel out. The gospel is not given because we are careless. And when we're careless, souls are not saved. And when souls are not saved, Satan gains ground. And I don't want Splitfoot to gain any ground. How about you? I want him to be put in his place. And I want to do everything I can to defeat him and to win souls to Christ. And I believe that's what God wants out of every one of us. And we need to know that. Now, the cost of carelessness is always high. Matthew 13:25. But while men slept, while men were asleep, in other words, careless, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That's all Satan is looking for, some careless Christians, and he can do damage when we are asleep in the things of God. And then what's the cure for carelessness? We know some of the problems. We know some of the possibilities. We know some of the reasons that we can become careless. But what is the cure for carelessness? Well, one of the things would be, first of all, regeneration. First of all, you got to get saved. You need to be saved, and if you're not saved, you're not going to be able to live the right kind of life. And let me tell you, some people, listen to me now, some people who are members of Baptist churches have never truly been born again. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, if I could take you back to a house where I visited last Saturday, and I talked to a person, and she did not know she was born again, I asked her about her church background. She said, I'm a member of so-and-so Baptist church. And then I thought she'd be able to give me a good answer. And I said, well, are you saved? You born again? Have you ever accepted Christ? She could not give me a definitive answer. There was no way she could really tell me that she had been born again. So she's a member of a church who doesn't even know she's saved. And sometimes people go through the motions. They go to the altar. They go through the motions of it. But their life does not change. And friend, I cannot believe for one moment that you can get saved and your life does not change. When Jesus moves in, business will pick up. When Jesus moves in, things will change. You say, well, I'm still struggling with all of these things. And all of us struggle with some of them, but when it becomes a habit and a practice and you're not doing anything about it, there's something wrong with it. You need to get your heart right with God. And in some cases, I think people just need to really have regeneration and know that Christ changes you. Behold, all things become new. Amen? When you get saved. Even if you're a little child, it's different. I was saved at 9, and it was different. From the night I got saved, it was different in my heart and in my life. The cure for carelessness, regeneration. And then knowing your place in serving God. Knowing your place in serving God. Let me tell you something. You are important in God's service. You say, me? Yes, you. You daddies. You men that are letting your wives do a whole lot of it. You are important in God's service. And the Bible was talking about Mary, and they were criticizing her. He said, leave her alone. She hath done what she could. May I ask you tonight, are you doing what you could? Are you doing what you could? There's so much we can do, and there's really so much more that we can do if we're willing to do it and not be careless in our Christianity and in our lives. She has done what she could. You're important to God. Do what you can. Whatever it is, find a place, get plugged in, get busy, serve God somehow. And then a cure for carelessness is the chastening hand of God. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If God loves you and you're out of his will and you get careless, he will give you a spanking. He will do it because he loves you. And he wants to redirect you. He wants to get you back on track. He wants to get you going in the right direction again. And sometimes the cure for carelessness has to be the chastening hand of God. God will warn us. God will speak to us, maybe through the pastor, maybe through a friend, maybe through parents, maybe someone else. God will talk to us. He'll warn us in different ways. If we don't heed the warning, then we keep on going, we keep going in that direction. Sooner or later, if we're really God's children, God will chasten us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Only God knows when somebody's being chastened. It's not my job or your job to judge people who are going through problems. But I can tell you right now, God sometimes uses sick bodies for chastisement. And sometimes God uses tragedies for chastisement. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible teaches it. Plus, I've talked to enough people in 46 years of full-time service to hear them weep and cry and say, I was out of God's will. I didn't do what God told me to do, and I knew better. And this happened and that happened. I reaped it in my children. I reaped it in other areas of my life because I would not listen to God. My dear friend, God knows, listen to me tonight. God knows your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, and we are impressed with what we see on the outside. But let me tell you what God's looking at, your heart. He's looking at your heart. And God knows our heart tonight. And he knows what's in our heart. And so we have to understand sometimes that the chastening hand of God is because there is sin in our lives and we've become careless. And then the cure for carelessness, last of all, would be to see a world of lost people die. Do you really believe people die and going to hell? We had our prayer meeting back there tonight, and we were praying for Debbie Gordon's father. And I want you to pray for him. He's on our prayer list. Pray for him. He is close to death, but he's not saved. Now that sort of brings it home, doesn't it? Say, well, we know Debbie, and we hope her daddy gets saved. And he's lost, and he's about to die. Listen, friend, there are thousands out there just like that. They're all over the place. They need to be saved. Does it bother us, does it disturb us that people are dying without Christ and going to hell? I suppose you believe in hell tonight, amen? That was sort of weak. I suppose you believe in hell. I'm not cussing from the pulpit. You can say amen. I suppose you believe in hell tonight. Amen. There is a real hell. There's a real heaven. And those who don't get saved, they die and spend eternity in a place called hell. You don't hear that much from pulpits across America anymore today. But the Bible teaches there is a hell. And the night I got saved, a preacher was preaching on hell. And I'm glad he preached on hell because I didn't want to go there. And he said, the only way you can escape it is come to Jesus. Amen. And as a 9-year-old lad, I waddled down that middle aisle in that little country church and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I'm thankful that I did. Because there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. So we need to see the world filled with lost people. Here's the word, vision. Vision. We need vision. That's what the Bible teaches. Without a what? The people perish. Say it with me. Vision. Without a what? Vision. The people dwindle away. They perish. Doesn't mean we go to hell. It just simply means we just get to where we're not really effective. We just dwindle away. Without a vision, the people perish. What's your vision tonight? Well, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. Do you think when you come to the end of your life you'll be able to say that? Paul said, I've fought a good fight. Saul said, I was careless. I have played the fool. I believe that sometimes that's exactly what we're doing. We're being very foolish. And we need to make those corrections in our heart before God tonight. If you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, get saved tonight. That's where it all begins. The cure for carelessness is, first of all, regeneration. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the testimonies of these two men. One, a king, tall, no doubt very impressive man physically, and yet a man who failed you so desperately and said that he did. And then we look at someone who was sick, someone who may have had eye problems like ophthalmia or something similar to that, one that you wouldn't even heal. You said your grace would be sufficient, and yet he was faithful to you. He was not careless in his life. Oh God, I cannot change the hearts and minds of these people, but your Spirit and your Word, your working, can do that. Help all of us to come to a revival of realization that we must not be careless. We cannot afford to be careless in our Christian life, whoever it may be. God, help us to be very careful to bring glory to you, to serve you, to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.